Welcome to another edition of Get Lit with Literature. This is your host, Monk. And you can find out more about writings and publications and other activities at the website allbook-books.com. However, I must note that due to a computer crash and losing access to my software program to do the website, I'm now in the process with a new computer of rebuilding the website. So the current website is kind of static at the moment. So if you have any inquiries, please feel free to email. And that affects the book that is being featured, a new book of poetry by Marcela Ossa called Cilantro y Café. So the book is available through her website, marcelaossa.com, marcelaossa.com, and it should be $17. It's $15 plus should be $2 shipping. There's various checkout things going on, so if there's any problem, you can contact her or me. That's the basic cost, or if you want to send a check, you can send that to All Book Books at P.O. Box 562, Selden, S as in Sam, E-L-D-E-N, New York, 11784. So thanks for your accommodating the tech rehab going on. So on with the book launch promotion interview. Marcela Ossa is a Colombian American poet, operatic soprano and vocalist, music teacher, and visual artist born in Medellin, Colombia. Hope I pronounced that right. She has an immense passion for the expression of human emotion through art. Some of her favorite poets and greatest influences include T.S. Eliot, Sabrina Benaim, Michael Faudet, Reina Biddy, Pablo Neruda, Rupi Kaur, Vera Pavlova, Emily Dickinson, and Joyce Carol Oates. Marcela has had a love for books ever since she can remember, and she found a love for poetry along the way. In addition to being an artist, Marcela is passionate about being an advocate for the LGBTQ+ community and minority communities, as well as being an activist raising awareness about the climate crisis and women's rights. She loves our Madre Tierra, that's Mother Earth, and animals, and a good laugh. So this is her first published book of poetry, which All Book Books is happy to publish, and it has her art on the cover in color, drawing of plant, cilantro, and café, and also those couple of small black and whites of the same drawings in the text. It's 60 pages. The poems are very evocative. I think people that get the book will want to read it at least more than once, and a lot of work goes into the book, editing and fine-tuning the poems and putting it all together. So now the interview with Marcela. Thank you for listening. Welcome, Marcela Ossa, to Get Lit with Literature. How are you today?
Thank you so much for inviting me. I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm okay, thanks. Yeah, thanks and congrats on this is your first book of poetry. I'll let you pronounce it because you've got the accent to go with it. What's the title of the book?
Thank you. The title is Cilantro y Café, which translates to cilantro and coffee.
All right, that's cool. so you're very interesting. Artistic endeavors you're into. You're an opera singer, soprano, right?
Correct.
And you do visual artwork, as you did the artwork, a drawing of cilantro and a little bit of a coffee plant on the cover of the book, nicely. And so what is it that made you want to get into doing a poetry book as well with all the other arts pursuits?
Ever since I started singing, I've had a love for words as well, especially because classical music has a lot of poetry in, of course, different languages. And I also, as a kid, I've always loved books just in general. And then I found a love for poetry when I was probably in my teens, later teens. Kind of went along with the music, and I just started writing kind of out of the blue, and I started developing a bunch of poems, and then I thought to myself, well, this could be a book one day. I mean, it was one of my dreams to write a book in general, so, yeah.
Yeah, that's neat. That's how I started. I think a lot of people do that, just write one poem and then another poem, and then all of a sudden, it's like, oh, hey, let's throw these all together in a book, because most poetry is, I don't plan to write a book of poetry. It just sort of happens.
Right.
Maybe some people plan, but I'm not sure. Was there any particular poem in your teens or poet that hooked you? I know you list some of your influences in the book, but was there anybody particular that when you first heard it was like, wow, I want to do that?
Oh, man. Honestly, I don't think so. When I was younger, they didn't really stick.
Mm-hmm.
Like specific poems or specific poets. I think it's just because I didn't really delve into it as much as I did later in my life. But when I was in high school, I took honors English class, and I was really into all the literature and the. We did a lot of Robert Frost, which is pretty typical of like a high school honors English.
Right.
So it really developed pretty slowly. I don't think I have like a specific poet.
Mm-hmm. That's okay. Yeah, perhaps it just like, since you're into music, the song of the poem or the sound of the words, that's a lot of what got me into the emotion and the feeling. You know, reading a, mm-hmm. it's different than reading a textbook or the newspaper. It's like all of a sudden, wow, this sounds different. So maybe that influence was part of it.
Yeah, definitely.
And your background too, as you have some poems that explore what it's like being from the country of Colombia and coming to America. So can you say a little bit about, you know, that experience, or, you know, what the arts background started in Colombia?
Yeah. So my parents came here when I was about 2 years old, so I was pretty young. But my family is, all of my family is in Colombia, and so Colombia has been a huge influence for just who I am, but also all the art that I do. And because I speak the Spanish language perfectly, and I speak it with my family, it's always been a very, how do we say that? A very nurturing language, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's where my family is, that's where my culture is. And so it felt wrong, honestly, to only write in English, because I've also read poems in Spanish that have caught my attention. I'm really into Pablo Neruda, and when I first started reading his poetry, I felt a different kind of connection to the Spanish language poetry. But yeah, Colombian culture is such a huge part of my life, and it honestly it flows naturally in my art. I have a lot of visual art that has influences from Colombia, lots of colors. I also make tapestries, which have some kind of influence from, like, a native Colombian heritage. So, yeah, everything is intertwined in my life with my culture. So, poetry inherently comes out as well.
Yeah, that's wonderful, because a lot of times I think they're sort of like too distinct sometimes to just label somebody one thing. So it's nice that you have that flow and that intermingling that comes with just the arts in general as part of the lifestyle and the culture and the language. You know, very important. So what, like, some of your poems are, along with, you do have, there's one in full Spanish with a translation, and then there's a bunch that have a bunch of Spanish words in italics, so there are those flavors, and then you do some stuff that is very innovative. I always forget how to pronounce that word, innovative, pardon me, I think it's innovative,
Yes.
The quirky, they're like, I would call them quirky layout kind of things. You have like the normally the margin starts on the left and you have them starting on the right side, so the lines kind of the length of the lines go the opposite way, and then you have some words like with the line through them using that gadget on the computer, like crossed out. And then there's even one poem where there's a paragraph which would sort of be like redacted, you know, a official political document or something that's where it's blacked out. And just the combination of all these things makes it a really interesting visual book, and kind of keeps, I think it keeps the reader on their toes when they're reading, that they're ready for a surprise. Was there any influence for that? Because I think of E.E. Cummings. You're probably familiar with the poet E.E. Cummings, that he did a lot of spatial design and, you know, at first it's like, what is that? So was that any influence on you, or did you just start experimenting?
I guess I'm really into the unconventional in general in my life, and when I read poetry, a lot of the times I would see them all pretty similar. And I thought, especially being a visual artist, when I see something with my eyes for the first time, it has a really huge effect on me, and I think it has a huge effect on us as people more than we think that it does. And I've always been really fascinated with that. And so, with all those things combined, when I started writing, I thought, well, there's huge spaces on the page. Why can't I play with it? I mean, no one's telling me that I can't, right? So, I just decided that, well, you know, if I have the liberty to write these poems, then I'll have the liberty to fill up the spaces however I want. And I think with all these other art forms that I have in my life, I explored like the visual art with the poetry. So the blacking out, I think really gives a new perspective on that one paragraph. And then the crossing out, and I also do like spaces in between letters to make the words like kind of separated, or like zoomed out. And I just think it's, I mean, like you said, it when you read a poem and you see that things look different than the conventional, then it gives you a different experience when you're reading it.
Yeah, that's an excellent description. I think of the well-known poet who recently passed away at about, I think his age 101. He was almost 102, Lawrence Ferlinghetti, and he was one of the first to do like not your typical high school English class where, you know, everything was sort of the romantic period and everything was in paragraphs and lines. He had lines all over the page and, you know, different indents, and it was visually interesting. So I think that's a neat thing that you're exploring, and it is it does add something to it. I think there's a good visual quality that it does. I think the writing can be like, I've been studying the form, the way the form is very linear, and it's kind of linear thinking in a way to read, because your eyes go back and forth in a linear form. So I think it's a neat thing to experiment with it, but, you know, maybe you don't do it too much where that it's like trying to show off. I think you know you weave it into the book very nicely.
Oh, thank you.
So how about, yeah, read, pick one of your poems to start off, to read.
Sure. So I'll start off with Indoor Skydiving. Indoor Skydiving. I want to carve my way into the world like a man could in the 19th century. They carved like beavers hungry for wood, like farmers at the start of the agricultural revolution. Hungry for wheat, hungry for power. But they didn't know they were creating whole worlds in their bubbles while snubbing the rest of the bubble keepers. The snubbers were hungry for a safe thrill, like indoor skydiving. Some of the thrill, none of the danger. Why do we thrill safely when we know full well that our black and blue bruises and our red and pink burns and our bloody hearts tell the story of a life well lived. Us snubbers of the outside world wrinkle in time, bend and break in time, and yet we continue to indoor skydive, fearful of an authentic thrill.
All right, that's neat. Interesting. That's one of the more thought-provoking poems in the book. When I heard it this time, it made me think of the, actually, the kind of overdoing of, when the settlers came over to what the natives call Turtle Island, the you know, too much cutting down of trees and literally deforesting and, like, beaver pelts and, you know, things like that would became these commodities. So I don't know if you had that in mind at all when you were starting off the poem, but the carving and then the problems, it kind of goes along with that. That came to mind.
Yeah, I think it starts off a lot about colonization and just kind of someone having, or a group of people having, or feeling like they have some kind of power over people just because they have more money or because they came over and they just killed a bunch of groups of people and took the land. But it also has a huge metaphor on men. And so it has actually a lot of different things that I care about, like feminism, you know, the issues of colonization that we've had. And then it turns into how humans are always kind of looking for something, but they don't, or we don't really look hard enough, or we don't work hard enough for it sometimes. I don't know. There's a lot to unravel, I think, in this one.
Yeah, like a good poem, it leaves it open for interpretation, and different people get what they get from it. What I like probably the most about it is the what the title says, indoor skydiving, in that the point you make, I think, is that there's like a certain kind of people that they, in a lot of times in maybe a destructive way, not maybe, but in a destructive way, but even if not, the risks they're taking, the life they're leading, is kind of in a bubble, almost like what they call sort of stuck in the matrix or lost in the TV kind of thing, and they don't connect it to actual full living. So that's what I got out of that poem. I like, that's the part I like a lot.
Yeah, thank you.
Maybe read another. You got some, a bunch of short ones too that do make you pause to think, even though they're short. So maybe read a short one.
Yeah, I think I'll read two short ones.
Okay.
Just because they're so short. So the beginning part of the book is very, I would say, more emotional than thought-provoking, like you said. That last one was in the second part. And so I'll read one of the ones from the first one. Ardent. When I feel, I burn. Emotional. So that one's really short. That's the shortest one of them all.
Oh, wow, yeah, I forgot it was that short. I was waiting for the next line.
And I think this one's pretty visual because it's scattered a little bit. But, yeah, I don't know what you get out of that one.
Which one? The art? The one you just read?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's just, let's see. It's kind of, yeah, just being honest about, like, what you know, when you feel, and certain people, they get intense, or I've had that sometimes where I just express my anger. I used to not do it, so I learned to just, if I felt something, to express it. So I could be really angry and express it, but that then I'm like through it, you know, I got through it, but somebody may be still thinking I'm like, oh, you're still angry. I'm like, no, I'm not. I just expressed it. So that's what made me think that you're like, you know, you just, you know, you're burned with the emotion, but that's just part of who you are, you know, some of who you are.
Yeah. Definitely. Yeah, it's pretty straightforward. But I think even if it's short, it, you know, has a little bit of strength in there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. And another one of the nature-y, got like a kind of recurring nature theme sort of haiku. There are, I think they are qualify as haiku.
Yeah, I have the season-themed one. So I have the four seasons. And this one is summer. The sunflower fell in love with the sun, the way the warmth kissed her skin and made her dance again.
All right, read it one more time, because that's so short.
Summer. The sunflower fell in love with the sun, the way the warmth kissed her skin and made her dance again.
Ah, that's very nice.
Thank you.
Let's see. Also, before I forget, I want to mention that the book is available on your website. It's $15 plus a little bit of shipping, and then normally I have stuff on my website, but I have to, because of a computer crash, I'm in the process of redesigning my website, so people could send me a check if they want to, or just, get it from your website, which is, spell out the, let people know your website.
Yeah, it's marcellaosa.com. It's spelled marcellaosa.com.
Okay.
And yeah, you can just go to the poetry tab and then it'll take you from there.
Super. And let's see, one more question. A while ago we talked a little bit about the writing process, and I think you had said it's kind of like when you're in the mood, or when you get the words or the flow or whatever it is, you just kind of go with it. Does that sum up the kind of process? You kind of go with it when it comes to you?
Yeah. So usually I get inspired really randomly. There are a lot of times where, I'm on the train and I see something that just sparks some kind of thought, and then I write it in my phone, and it's kind of like the idea that's there, and then I'll write the rest of it later that night or something. But it's a very spot on kind of, I just get inspired and then I write, and it just kind of flows out of my fingers, like when I'm typing or writing with my pen. I can't sit down and say, okay, I'm going to write this poem about this thing, so that's pretty accurate.
Yeah, that's almost, I would say almost word for word my process, so it's interesting. It's a similar thing.
Nice.
I'm not a big, a lot of people are into the prompt poetry, and once in a while I've done that, but that's not my thing. I just kind of like to let it happen for the most part.
Yeah.
Anything you want to add to, about the book, or just anything, about the art to yourself, or when you got a reading plan at a cafe where you are, or whatever you want to add.
Yeah. So I'm going to try and have a launch party, event. Of course, during COVID, I'm not going to have a bunch of people, but I will have it through Zoom. So, for whoever is out of Chicago, I live in Chicago, so it'll be in a cafe in Chicago. But if you follow my Instagram, which you can find on my website, but my Instagram is at MarcellaOsaGo. So Go added to my name. And you can see updates there, and you can find the Zoom link on the website once that is up. And the book has a bunch of Spanish, like we mentioned. And I didn't put an index or a glossary for those words, because I think if you want to understand the Spanish, you can look it up. But if you want to keep it mysterious, you can also do that. So I didn't want to give that away. I think that's pretty good.
Yeah, that's fine. It's a short but sweet book. It's got a lot to it, even though a lot of the poems are short. It's a nice little book. I'm happy to happy that it's being published by All Book Books, and I'm excited for you with your first being your first book. This is an enjoyable conversation, and I wish you well with all your artistic endeavors.
Thank you so much. I appreciate so much that your interest in my poetry and my first book. I really couldn't have done it without you and all of your help. So yeah, I really appreciate it. I'm super glad that it's being published by All Book Books as well.
All right. Thanks so much, Marcella.
Yeah, thank you.
All right. You take care.
All right. You too.
Thank you.